Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, we conclude listening to Dr. Greg Patton's powerful presentation, Rising Tide of Evil. Each year, we produce a calendar to raise funds for our prison ministry. This special ministry provides Bibles, prayer, and encouragement to prisoners across the country. This year, our calendar theme is Beyond the Veil. Created by Marginal Mysteries host Micah Van Hus, the Beyond the Veil calendar includes stunning imagery, a guide for reading through the Bible in a year, and the major Jewish holidays. And right now, we have a very special Get One, Give Two. Each calendar that you order provides two free calendars for the incarcerated individuals through our Onesimus Prison Ministry. This calendar, with its one-of-a-kind images, is perfect for daily encouragement, Bible study inspiration, or as a meaningful gift. Order your Beyond the Veil calendar today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. This year's calendar is truly one that you don't want to miss out on. And remember, we have special discounts when you order multiple calendars, which many of you are doing. Order today, 1-800-652-1144. Last month, we held our special three-day Prophecy in the News Live conference in Bristol, Virginia. One of our featured speakers was author and teacher Dr. Greg Patton. Today, we're going to finish listening in on his presentation entitled Rising Tide of Evil. This presentation truly will encourage and equip you to have true victory in the midst of the chaos and evil that's in the world today. Here's Dr. Greg Patton.
Number five, here it is, social media and video craze in America today. Perhaps other than public education, no greater influencer on the young minds of today. Wasting time. Redeem the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Wasting time and influencing that fragile mind away from God and His Word and reality. That world they're living in is not real. Number six, the weak and compromised church. Today, if you don't have music that'll blow you out the doors, some sort of a fireworks display from the stage, I mean, it's awful what's happening. The church today is so shallow. So shallow. If yours is not, praise the Lord. But you know what so many churches are fighting today? They're fighting the Walmart church. If you ever go to a small town grocery, small town hardware, small whatever, they're very limited in whatever. That's where most small churches are. I have one. I know what I'm talking about. No possible way can I do a bunch of that. The Walmart church has it all. We have a church in Fort Wayne that just spent $4 million on their third and fourth grade wing for their church Sunday school. Are you kidding me? I mean, thousands of people go to this church and that one, up to, what is it, 1,200 churches a month closing in America. The small ones, one by one by one, they're shutting down. The weak and we have lukewarm Christianity in America. Many lament that the church has gone worldly, I would agree. Silent on sin, more focused on a message of positivity and how great you are not great. Jeremiah 17:9 says that you are wicked. Look in the mirror, tell yourself that, and then fall on your knees before Almighty God and ask His forgiveness. That's the way you win. You're nobody. I'm nobody. Whatever good you get out of me in any way, shape, or form is because of Almighty God and the Holy Spirit working, because I'm a nobody and I could easily vacillate towards something else. I'm the guy that was a drunk, smoked four packs of cigarettes a day, did drugs now and then, couldn't find his way home, and could not say more than a couple sentences without a four-letter word in it. I was telling my church last Sunday, I've now been saved over 50 years, and you know how many times I've sworn in 50 years? And sometimes I deliberately use damn and hell even on my radio show. But as far as actually cussing, less than five times in 50 years. Isn't that amazing? A guy who couldn't stop swearing? Tell me that's not a miracle. Four packs of cigarettes a day and none? Tell me that's not a miracle. A guy who was drunk all the time and never touched another drop? Tell me that's not a miracle. A guy could never find his way home and his wife was ready to divorce him? That close to getting divorced? We've been together 66 years. Isn't that something? 66 years. Wow. I love it, but you know what? All credited to God. Every bit of it. Thank you, Lord. Greg Patton's a weakling. Number seven, social and racial division in America. Many Christians are concerned about the growing hatred, the division. I think Charlie Kirk hit it best that diversity is not the strength of America. Unity is the strength of America. We need to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, not be divided over everything under the sun. Diversity, it's fine. But I'll tell you what, you're not going to win with diversity. You are not going to win with diversity. We have all of that, no unity in America, no unity in the church. When there's no unity, you're in trouble. Others are concerned that the church is just too silent or too politically polarized to be effective in promoting peace and truth. I'm not so sure about that. We need to stand up. America needs to know the truth. And you'll discover something. The more you speak truth, guess what? You're going to have less and less friends. And you don't have to be mean about it. Just speak the truth and see what happens. I've got kids that are divided. I've got one son who thinks he's an atheist. When he was 15 years old and preached Thanksgiving in my church, in my Christian school, preached one of the best messages I've ever heard in my life. He was 15 years old. Today he thinks he's an atheist. Thank you. How can that be? You know what? If you don't stay close to God, if you're not reading this book every day, if you're not praying every day, if you're not seeking some way to serve God every day, if you're not fellowshipping with other believers every day, if you're not in a good Bible-believing church, guess what? You're going to go down the toilet. You cannot do that. Number eight, and I'm done with this portion, and I got something I want to share. I see America's decline, and we might have some spurts of revival, but I see it as part of end times prophecy. I believe Jesus is coming soon. I'm not alone in that thinking. And this is where the world turns away from God and there's no escaping it. I'll say again, we have little things happening here or there. Oh boy, and I'm all for it as well. Don't misunderstand me. But there's growing hostility toward Israel, moral chaos in America, natural disasters, views of the sign of the times, and man, we've got them day after day. You look at the news, it's loaded daily with any number of these things. A fire, an explosion, a shooting, a mass shooting, a cop shooting, a flood here, North Carolina, part of it wiped out there, Tennessee wiped out. What is that all about? Jesus is coming soon. That's what that's all about. I want to give you something to think about as a Christian and see if you can hold a candle to this guy. I got this from Pastor Rich Bitterman. Maybe you've already heard of it, but I want to share it. A bullet tore the air in half that day. A folding chair rattled a bit, and a Bible dropped to the ground. A young man slumped sideways beneath a white tent, eyes wide with the weight of eternity on his face. It was supposed to be just kind of a conversation called Prove Me Wrong, but this time rebuttal came not in words, but with a bullet. Charlie Kirk never finished his sentence that day. This pastor says, I got the news just before my prayer meeting. I contemplated this death as I prepared to lead our saints in prayer that night. But I got to tell you, I didn't feel like praying. Not tonight. My hands were still and my mouth was ready to go. But my soul just kept pacing and it was angry and it was grieving. It was tempted. It was tempted to just go silent and be quiet. It was tempted to just set this one out this time. Tempted to wonder if any of this, all that faith and boldness and public gospel witness, is worth it at all. Because hatred in this country is not simmering anymore. It's boiling in America. Europe is trembling. Israel is burning. Rockets light up the sky over Gaza once again. And now here on American soil, the blood of a Christian apologist paints the pavement of the university soil. What do you do with that? What do you say when courage gets gunned down right before your eyes in broad daylight? Charlie Kirk, like all of us, was not a perfect man. No, he was not. But he had more backbone than most of us, because we don't have it anymore. He was a believer. He was unshamed. He was unafraid. He understood that real conversations could only happen when truth was welcomed at the table. And the truth he carried most was that of Jesus Christ. He brought the gospel into the public space, and he did it on purpose, because the gospel isn't supposed to stay in the church basement or in those little private Bible studies you and I have. It's meant to confront. It's meant to offend. It was not meant for safety. The word became flesh, and they nailed it to a tree. So, of course, they came for Charlie, too. Of course, they, in this case, reached for a gun. This is what evil does when it runs out of an argument. It doesn't reason. It kills. That's the part that, I'm sorry, the pastor says, catches in my throat. Not just the sadness, but the strategy, of hell behind it. The enemy wants you to be afraid. He wants you to see what happened to Charlie, and he wants you to backpedal. He wants the rest of us to whisper, to now soften the message, to believe the lie that faith has got to stay private and not go public. He preached in temples, on hillsides, in courtrooms, at dinner tables, and when they told him to be quiet, he picked up his cross. Not a symbolic cross, but a real cross. Heavy, bloody, splintered. When Jesus said, "Follow me," he didn't hand out a map or GPS. He handed out crosses. That's what I remember tonight. I sat in our prayer space there at church, surrounded by saints who had brought prayer lists and brought their worn Bibles. And I realized I didn't want to lead them in mourning. I'm sorry. I just stood up and wanted to lead them in battle. Not with banners or fists, but with open Bibles and tear-stained prayers. The kind of war that kneels in the gravel beside the wounded, hands them living water, and refuses to leave. The kind that speaks both mercy and judgment without flinching at all. The kind Charlie died for that day. This world is not a friend of grace, never has been. But grace isn't fragile either. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Paul didn't leave that question unanswered. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or the danger of sword, Romans 8:35. He piles up every fear you and I carry, and then he sets it all on fire. knowing all things, we are more than conquerors. And that means, ladies and gentlemen, that in the end, bullets don't win. Bullets don't win. Slander doesn't win. Prison bars don't win. Death doesn't win. You can lose everything in this old world and still walk into glory with your head held high. Because the love of God in Christ Jesus isn't suspended in headlines or in gunfire either. There are two worlds unfolding right now. The one you see and the one you don't see. One is filled with chaos. The other is filled with crowns. I believe that when Charlie Kirk's body slumped to the concrete, his soul stood up strong in heaven, straight up, not limping, not silenced, not bleeding, not stunned, but crowned. Charlie Kirk didn't fall. Charlie Kirk crossed. He crossed. The great cloud of witnesses gained another voice. And I wonder if Stephen weren't there to meet him. I think he was. The first martyr, the man who got stoned for preaching what the crowd didn't want to hear, the man who in his final breath saw heaven open. The only time in all of Scripture we see Jesus standing at the right hand of God, rising to receive one of his own. I like to believe that he stood again. And the question might be this Thursday afternoon, are you afraid? My Christian friend, you're here at some really big meetings with some important voices. But I got to ask you, are you afraid? Do you feel any trembling in your spirit? God said he didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Do you wonder if it's still worth it to stand up and speak boldly, to carry your Bible, to preach the gospel in a world that doesn't just disagree, but wants you to be gone, period? You need to understand this is the testimony worldwide of Christian. You're not alone. You're not weak for feeling that way either. And that's important you understand that. But you're called to something stronger than silence in Bristol, Virginia. Don't let fear become your new theology. The cost is high, but the reward is Jesus Christ. You win. And he's not a concept. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Heaven is not empty this Thursday. It is filled with scarred saints who refuse to be fearful and to stand for the glory of God. Men who were stoned, women who were burned, children who sang while the flames around them ate them up. And every last one of them arrived at a proper destination. There's no difficulty in this world that can cancel the promises of Almighty God. Nowhere. There's no persecution that can ever derail your destination. There's no sniper's bullet that can separate a soul from Jesus Christ. Your life is not measured by how long you live on this earth, but how much it was spent pointing toward heaven. Paul said, I've fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. And it's important. Then he looked toward his reward, not a monument, not a mention in the history book, but a crown. Hand to him by the one with nail marks still in his hands. So let me close by saying this very clearly. We do not mourn as the world mourns. We do not write eulogies dripping with all kinds of sentiment. We sing songs of resurrection. We carry the banner of the kingdom that does not tremble. Charlie Kirk did not die for nothing. He died carrying the same message you and I must carry forward every day. The cross stands tall, the tomb is still empty, and the gospel has not lost 1 ounce of power. So the challenge this hour is pick up your cross. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want to be that man. I want to be that woman. In heart, I do today, Brother Greg. I want to be the one to pick up my cross. If that's you, could I see your hands throughout this auditorium? God bless you, front to back, front to back. Real men and women of God, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. This Christian walk's not easy. There never was a promise it would be, beloved. But it is worth it, and you know it. You know, you may be here today and struggling about eternity. You may say, I come to this meeting, you know what? I'm not sure I know what it means to be a Christian. Could I pray for you in closing my message today with every head bowed, nobody looking around, please? Eyes sealed. Greg, would you pray for me? I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. Is there anyone in this room like that? I want to pray for you. Just put your hand up, put it back down. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not come after you. I just want to pray. Anyone at all? God bless you. Anyone else? Just put your hand up, put it back down. God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else in this audience? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Let's do this. You're in here in this audience, and oftentimes in a public meeting, people you do not know, it's the hardest to get somebody to respond oftentimes. And so again, this is between you and God. You have an audience with him right now as others are believing. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And if that's you, you would pray this way, my friend. This is exactly the way I prayed out in Acton, Indiana on December 31st, 1973. God, I realize I am a sinner. You pray that. God, I realize that I am a sinner and I'm asking forgiveness of that sin. God, I know that you died for me on an old rugged cross. And I'm asking you right now to save my soul, God. Heaven, going to be my home forever. And God, I thank you right now. You did the heart part, dying for me. Thank you that I can ask. And God, I can receive. Jesus is my Savior. Thank you for saving my soul, God. Help me to live the life I know that I need to live to be pleasing in your sight. Help me to be the soldier that I need to be for the glory of God. With heads bowed and eyes closed, one more thing. You're here today and say, you know what? I've got a really heavy burden right now. Brother Greg, would you pray for me? I would like to close that way. Is there anyone in this audience? And with the uplifted hand, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Yes, sir. Thank you. Others today, quickly. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Others. I've got a burden. I've got one. So put Greg on your list. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Others. Anyone else today? Pray for me. Thank you, ma'am. They're in the back. God bless you. I've got you. Thank you. Aren't we supposed to do this? What is this meeting all about anyway? You're getting a great education from the Bible and prophecy. Yes, you are. But we're a team. We're in this together. Do you realize we're going to be walking that street of gold forever? People in this room, you're going to see them again, if not here. Up there, and don't you want to pray for these folks right now that are going through something pretty heavy? Anyone else before I close? Some of you are wiping tears right now. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. God bless you, young man. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we come to you in closing in the name of Jesus. That name above all names. And what a privilege, God, to be able to stand before somebody that would actually pay attention and be interested in what your word has to say and the challenge of today, God. I pray for each one that raised their hand. God, he's hurting, she's hurting. It could be financial, it could be health, easily health with a group this size and this age, easily be health. God, we don't have the answers. We know the one who has the answer, so we bring our things before you right now, God. and ask you to touch him and her and him all over this audience. God, thank you for the privilege of being here. We're here. God, you knew before the beginning of time exactly where we were going to be seated this minute in this building that did not exist. That's incredible to me. Thank you, God, for all these good soldiers of the cross. God, we all need help today. Be with them in a mighty way. For those raising hands for salvation, for those that just want a prayer, we lift them up right now in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you and thank you.
We've been listening to part two of Dr. Greg Patton's presentation, Rising Tide of Evil. This presentation is part of the Prophecy in the News Live 2025 Bristol Conference DVD collection, which is now available. Experience the power of biblical truth unfolding today. Step into the heart of prophecy and watch God's Word come alive. Prophecy in the News Live 2025, filmed in Bristol, Virginia, captures 3 days of dynamic teaching from some of today's foremost voices in Bible prophecy. This powerful DVD collection brings the entire conference experience straight to your home, church, or small group, so you can understand today's world through God's eternal Word. Discover how ancient prophecies are being fulfilled before our eyes as experts reveal the spiritual battles, world events, and cosmic conflicts shaping our future. Each presentation is packed with insight, inspiration, and scriptural truth, covering topics such as angelic warfare, the invisible war around us, Christ in the Passover, and the Jewish roots of Christianity. Order your copy of the Prophecy in the News Live 2025 Bristol Conference DVD collection today. Call 800-652-1144. That's 800-652-1144. You can also order at swrc.com. This DVD set includes powerful messages from Josh Davis, Mac Dominic, Bill Federer, Clayton Van Hus, Greg Patton, Dr. Lonnie Shipman, Dr. Larry Spargimino, Larry Stamm, and Micah Van Hus. Don't miss this prophetic conference experience. Order the Prophecy in the News Live 2025 Bristol Conference DVD set today and see how Scripture shines light on the times we're living in. 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, Josh Davis will share the latest headlines from the end times. So be sure to tune in by downloading our free SWRC mobile app. Watchman on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful friends like you. To learn more, visit swrc.com.